Morning, church. Shalom. Please be seated and welcome to Church of Our Savior. And for all of you who are, well, for those who are here for the very first time, my name is Daniel. I'd like to welcome you to our community, our family, and those of you who are joining us online, we want to welcome you as well. We are creating this sacred space so that we can meet with one another and that we can meet with God of heaven. Amen. Amen. So good to be in the church because, you know, this has been quite a crazy week. All kinds of things happening in news and, you know, a little bit of disturbance here and there, but God still reigns. Amen. And we can be confident because our Lord is in charge. Now, we have spent a little bit of time this year in trying to draw near to God. That's sort of like our theme, you know. How can we break up the fallow ground, create the Sabbath space and time so that we can be able to know our God better, to draw nearer to God. We're going to continue this today, and I'd like to do so by looking at a very familiar gospel narrative, and this comes from Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 23. I want to encourage you, your Bibles, you know, especially those of you who are at home, pull out your actual Bible, right? Dust covering it. I know sometimes you even forgot where you put the Bible, but, you know, we got to look at the Bible because that is the Word of God. It is the Word of life for us. Amen. Okay, so pull out your Bibles. And this is a very familiar narrative. Many of you would have heard of this. You've been in church for any number of years. You definitely would have heard of this. Even if you're not a Christian, this will probably be somewhat familiar to you. It is the story of Jesus walking on water to his disciples. And although it is familiar, I believe that this particular story holds for us some very deep lessons and keys to breakthrough in our spiritual walk with God, how we can get to know the God we need to know, all right? So this morning, we're going to spend a bit of time to mine this passage for some spiritual goal, as it were, all right? I'm going to read for you Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. It says, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." But Peter answered him, and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is a fascinating story, an amazing miracle. And the gospel tells us that it began with Jesus making his disciples get into the boat. But the word in Greek that's used here actually carries a far greater force than just make, right? It's more like insisted or compel or even force. So you could say that Jesus, you know, after a whole day of ministering to the multitudes, feeding the multitudes, the thousands, healing people who came to him, he forced his disciples to get into the boat. Now, maybe the disciples wanted to follow Jesus. Maybe, you know, they wanted to go and pray with Jesus. Maybe they had questions to ask Jesus. There's stuff they wanted to do with the Lord. But Jesus insisted, compelled them not to do so, but to send them off into a boat to the other side of the Lake of Galilee. I think there could be a couple of reasons why this happened, right? First of all, maybe Jesus just wanted to be alone to pray. I mean, he spent a lot of time with people all the time, but Jesus had to have his own time with the Father, right? Some communion time, a Sabbath, if you like. So, you know, it's a good thing. I trust that all of you are trying to have this Sabbath, trying to keep a time where you can just listen to God and let God speak to you. Very important. If Jesus needed that, I think it's safe to say that all of us probably need this also, all right? So we all need to have some time with the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need time with the Lord. Okay, so around Capernaum, there was some hilly areas, some rocky areas. And then there's no great big mountain, but probably it was one of these hills. Jesus went up there and he was alone to pray to the Father, right? That's kind of why. But, you know, there could be a second reason why Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. And I think that it was because this whole thing that we just read, this whole episode that we just read, was not happenstance. It didn't just happen by accident that, you know, all these things that we read happened. Rather, I think it was by design. It was a setup, if you like, that Jesus wanted them to be in the boat. Jesus wanted these things that we just read to happen because there was something very vital, very crucial that he wanted the disciples and for all of us to understand how we can get this very important breakthrough in our spiritual life. And that's probably why Matthew was there. He used such a strong word. He was there. He saw it. So he used such a very strong word. He remembers that day on the shores of Galilee as the day's work drew to a close. Now, you have to keep in mind that Galilee itself is not a very big, they call it the Sea of Galilee, but actually it's just a lake. And it's not a terribly big lake, right? It doesn't take a very long time for you to sail across. You look at the pictures, you can see, you can actually see the other side. It's really not that far, right? And the furthest points where they were in a place probably called Tapka, in a sort of northwestern part of the Galilee. The two places that they could be going to is no more than 10 kilometers, at most 10 kilometers, probably around 8 kilometers. So we are told that by sundown, the boat was in the middle of the sea, right? So from the north, they're trying to go one of two places, either to Tiberias or to Susita across on the other side. So in the middle, that would be roughly where they were, right? Now, you just think about this. By sundown, they probably started off late in the day, but when the sun was going down, it was getting dark. Now, it's not normal for people to go sailing in the dark in those days. Mainly because there's no electricity, okay? You can't just turn on the lights. When you're out at sea, it was pitch black. Very often, you couldn't see a thing. So normally, you would not go out unless, you know, maybe there was moonlight. Okay, some a little bit of moonlight. So that was the light that you... If you had a candle, it's not going to last very long out at sea anyway, right? So, not so common, but they were out at sea that night because Jesus made them do it. And while they were out there, trying to make what is arguably a short distance, they couldn't. They were battling strong winds that were contrary blowing against them. And, you know, some of us, maybe you have been to Galilee before, right? If you have been to Israel, there's a high chance that you were on a boat in the Galilee. And if you remember anything about it, it was probably a nice ride. Right? Very smooth ride on the Sea of Galilee, feeding the seagulls, you know, looking at the sights, taking pictures. Very nice. I remember the first time I was in Galilee and we were on the boat and we were sailing on the boat and my wife remarked to me, you know, it's not very stormy, what? It's a very calm sea. I said, no, don't say anything right now, okay? Wait till we get to shore, then you start saying comments like that, right? But occasionally, there will be the winds, the cold winds from the Golan Heights will come down meeting the hot, humid air of the Galilee. And, you know, somehow the winds will turn it very tumultuous, right? So that night, there was such a storm, a freak storm and very powerful winds preventing them from making what is a very short distance, 10 kilometers. You can walk that in a couple of hours. But they were out there for a whole night, not able to make headway because they were stuck in the middle of the sea. Maybe that's why Jesus had to force them to go out because, you know, they knew some of these were fishermen, not all of them. But a couple of them were fishermen. They said, you know what, it's not a good idea, Jesus. Jesus had to insist because that night, there was some very important lesson for them, right? Because most of them, after the long day, they would much prefer to go home to a warm dinner and bed and have some rest, right? It was a long working day. So instead, they had to go sailing. So what must, after some hours of battling, you know, from sunset, these guys were exhausted. They must have been exhausted. It's been such a long day, no rest at all. And normally when you'll be sleeping, they were still up because the winds were so ferocious. So during that time, the Bible says it was the fourth watch of the night. What is the fourth watch of the night? You see, the Jews used to divide the night into four segments, right? So you have sundown, which is 6 p.m. To 9 p.m. That is the first watch of the night. So from 9 to midnight, that is the second watch of the night. And from midnight to 3 in the morning, that was the third watch. The fourth watch is actually the darkest and last part of the night between 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. The darkest night, right? The darkest part of the night when you're most tired. So during this fourth watch of the night, the wee hours of the morning, when everyone else was sleeping, that's when our story takes place. Reading the narrative, it will appear that they had been battling these winds for hours. Sunday, first watch, second watch, third watch, 9 hours they had been battling the wind and the storm. This cold wind, and they were wet probably, right? Probably it's the reason why they were not already sleeping or safely on shore, because they were just too busy trying to stay alive. I want you to picture yourself in this boat. It's easy for me to do that because I used to be on a ship before, right? And I've been through something like this before. But I want you to imagine, you are in this boat. It's dark, wet and cold, being thrown about, battered by the wind, the waves, the circumstances of life. It was not a nice place to be. And I would not be the least surprised if some of them were complaining. Probably, Peter, what kind of leadership is this? Peter, you know this will happen already. Why you still bring us out here? I know Jesus, you persuade Jesus. You know, maybe they complain to Jesus because they want to complain about Jesus. He's the master. Sometimes Jesus knows, right? So better don't say anything. Let's complain to Peter. Or maybe they were complaining about Jesus. Jesus, I know you're a great healer, you're a great teacher, you know the Bible very well, but when it comes to boats and seas and storms, you got to trust us. This is our thing. We know these things better. We have experience in these things. So God, you do your God thing. Let us do our thing because we know better. Right? Maybe they were complaining like Singaporeans, right? Now Olympics coming around. Complaining was a national sport. We were definitely good at the goal, right? So this was, you know, they were just grappling with all these things. Now, in the middle of all this struggling and tired and, you know, complaining, not happy, they see something in the water. Right? You got to remember, it's dark out there. It's not like this picture here. This picture painting is very bright, like sun in the morning like this. In the dark, wind blowing, you see something far out there. You have to wonder how much they saw because, you know, it was all in the moonlight. Right? All you can see is some reflection, maybe some distant light in the shores. And you are trying to stay alert so that you don't fall in the water because one misstep, you'll be in the black water and you probably cannot find yourself. You probably will drown out there. So one of them will go, Peter. Peter. And Peter is already, don't talk so much. We are trying to stay alive. You mend your rope. You mend your sail, whatever it is. You just work. Peter, you got to see this. What's out there? And all the disciples stop where they all turn out there. Think about this. I have to imagine Jesus probably wearing white color. Okay, you know where this is going, right? Jesus probably have long hair and it's wet some more. In the dark by the moonlight. It's The Ring, you know? You see the movie, The Ring. These guys, the Bible says, Matthew tells us, okay, this is not what they wanted to see. Let's just face it. You don't want to see anything out in the water at this point in time, right? But Matthew tells us, they saw someone walking towards them on the water. And the command of the Bible was, they were troubled. Now, it is my opinion that this is probably the understatement of the year, right? They were troubled. What was this? They were troubled. Oh, look at that. How odd, that apparition floating to us on the water at this time of night. Let us consider this strange sight. We are troubled. No, not this kind of trouble. It's more like, bring the paddles out, paddle. Let's get out here. It's coming nearer already, right? Floating on the water. Okay, they were troubled. Okay, probably a little bit of an understatement. Make the disciples look better. This is a sheer panic here, right? So, what? Right? Now, they were looking with their natural eyes, right? What did their natural eyes see? They saw the storm. They saw the waves. And they saw this thing approaching them. all of us, we also default to looking at life and our circumstances through our natural eyes. Today, as we battle the storm that COVID-19 has brought upon us, and we have been resisting this storm for quite a long time. You know, back in early 2020s, we all thought, this will be over in maybe 3 months or 2 months at most, right? And then we can go, to on holidays again. We can go wherever we want to go, travel, fly again. And then 2 months became 3 months, 3 months became 4 months. You buy your ticket to go to Hong Kong in December last year. Until now, still cannot go, right? We have been through this. And maybe our emotions also a little bit battered. Right? We were wondering now, not so sure. That time it was like, this will be just another problem. We've been through this before. This will be another, SARS and all this. We will be out of this in no time. And now we are a little bit more concerned, perhaps. Very often when you look through your natural eyes, you don't see the whole picture, right? You see a bleak picture. And often, you see your worst fears. They saw a ghost! And from there, your feelings run away like a horse that bolts out of control. And this is so ironic, isn't it? Because who was coming to them? It's Jesus. If there's anyone you want to come to you in your storm, it is Jesus. Amen? You want Jesus to come. But when Jesus did come, they did not see Jesus. They saw a ghost. Okay, Holy Ghost, huh? But it was a ghost nevertheless. We have a tendency to rely heavily on our natural vision. And sometimes that natural vision only paints you part of the story. It prevents you from seeing the truth, the spiritual truth that God wants to bring to us, the revelation God wants to give to us. And that is why we cannot solely rely on our natural vision, your natural eyes. It only will bring you so far. Now, Jesus must have seen their despair. And he calls out to them in verse 20. Immediately, Jesus knew it, right? He says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Now, the word here really means be brave, be strong, be courageous. Because your natural eyes is telling you something else, right? So, you got to do something else. You have to, by faith, be brave. And today, even as we are surrounded by these circumstances, it's actually important to be brave, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, be brave. Jesus was concerned that they were drowning in their fear and their panic, and he sought to reassure and assuage their fears. Of course, first he had to convince them that he is the Lord, right? Because now they are like, who is this? Are you sure? No, Unyabo, right? They have this certain, you can hear that in the words of Jesus, in the words of Peter, Lord, if it is you, he's not sure. There's doubt in the midst of faith, right? And usually, this happens together. Even as we try to have faith, there's always some lingering doubt. So, Lord, if it is you, and then he says, command me to come to you on water. Well, first of all, whenever God speaks to us, we have to respond in faith. That is the correct response to the call of God. Not just with your natural abilities, it is a response in faith, in trust, in obedience. Very important, right? Now, why did Peter say what he did? Well, I don't know. He always says these kind of things. Because, quite honestly, most people will be like, Lord, if it is you, tell me what's my favorite color. Only my mother knows. That's something like this, safe, right? Tell me what's my favorite food. Oh, char kway teow. Oh, you're right, man. It must be the Lord. Right? Something safe. Peter, he opened his mouth only, call me to come to you on water. Okay, we will say something about that later, right? But right now, he was presented with an option. Faith on one hand, with its own attendant uncertainties and fear. Which one? Today when we look at the world around us, so many people are caught up in their fear. They allow the natural vision to dictate their response, to dictate their whole attitude to the world, right? And when you remember when this whole COVID-19 started, when it was running the peak, circuit breaker, we are all saying the vaccination. The vaccine will save us, right? If only the vaccine will come quickly. Let's hurry up. So many people in the world are trying to produce a vaccine. Let's get a good vaccine. And then, different vaccines started coming. You got Pfizer, you got Moderna, this and that. Sinovac is good, right? You jab ready, 讲华语的, after that. Okay, so, now we are hoping this. Okay, then the vaccination came and we're saying, yes, you know, now we are all right. Okay, now we're not so all right. After vaccine, you may still get infected and you can still infect other people, all right? You should still probably, I mean, it's better than nothing, I suppose, right? But you cannot just rely on the natural vision because there is a limit to how much you can see with your natural eyes. Agree? There's only so much you can see humanly. Okay, so Peter, he has this. He chose to have this little faith, even in the midst of his doubt. And, you know, there's one thing I like about Peter. When he goes big on. Right? Go big or don't go at all. And he goes big, right? And he says, Lord, if it's you, call me to come. And he didn't have to wait because the Bible says Jesus responded almost immediately, come. Well, no time to change your mind. What did I just say? Really, I said that? Okay, Peter always says, say first thing later. But Jesus answered before he can think. So, you know, get this picture of how we can now draw closer to God. Here's the breakthrough is here, right? This is the moment of the breakthrough. Because up until now, everything is normal. Up until now, you and me, we can do all of this stuff, right? We can be in that same situation. But now, you're about to go to the next level of your understanding and knowledge to God. Before this, the disciples already saw Jesus. Literally, they spent a whole day with Jesus, performing miracles after miracles, right? They know Jesus was a great teacher. They called him rabbi. They called him good teacher. They knew that Jesus was a healer. They brought all kinds of people to Jesus. They saw him with their natural eyes, healing people. They knew Jesus was a miracle worker. They just fed the multitudes. It's amazing. It was impossible. It was a miracle. They knew Jesus was a miracle worker. They knew Jesus was prophetic. He spoke the words of God like nobody else did. He taught with authority and with power. All this they already know up to this point. You and I also already know. But today, they're about to know something about Jesus that they could not know just by observing with their natural eyes. Everything else, they just saw with their natural eyes. So I don't know which is more fearful, the prospect of drowning in the dark water, dark cold water, or this potential ghost waiting for you on the water, right? Nevertheless, Peter, he does the impossible. He begins to take one small step of faith out of the boat into the water, followed by another step of faith. And with each step, get this, he was drawing nearer to Jesus. With each step, he was drawing nearer to Jesus than he could ever have come close to Jesus if he had stayed in the boat. So he took that step out. It's so often Christians come to church year after year after year. Good people. People who love God, right? And don't get me wrong, this is good. But we stagnate in our spiritual growth. And we wonder why. Because we are doing the good things that we know how to do, right? We keep doing it again and again, but we don't find ourselves having a spiritual breakthrough. We don't find ourselves growing in the Lord. We don't find ourselves knowing and experiencing God in more powerful ways. We don't experience the breakthrough that we desire and that we seek. Why? Okay, this is it. You see, you can do a lot of things in the boat. But there are some things you will never find in the boat. You can stay in the boat for a very, very, very long time. You can even go to the edge of the boat, smell the water, touch the water even, take pictures of the water, right? But if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat, right? That's the breakthrough. That is going beyond just what you see naturally, what you do naturally. This calls for a response of faith. So with each step Peter took, he began to understand Jesus in a new way. Suddenly, this was on a whole different league altogether. No more just a teacher. No more just a healer or even a miracle worker. This was the Son of God. He was drawing nearer to God. And, you know, this, actually, I can stop right here because this is the key. This is the key for you and I who want to grow in our faith. You can stay in a boat. There's a lot of things you can do in a boat, but there's only so far you can get to know God. Your spiritual growth requires us to take audacious steps of faith. You see, the thing that Peter did was he chose to do the impossible. He didn't just ask for something ordinary. He chose something that it had to be God. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen, This is kind of scary, isn't it? Because we are letting go of the familiar and we are venturing into the unknown. Who has walked on water before? Nevertheless, because of this small faith, it wasn't a great faith. It was a small faith and maybe a big mouth, right? Peter became the only one who did what he ever did. Those nine words in verse 29. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Nobody else had this breakthrough. Peter alone had this honor. You see, faith is not just an idea in our head. It's not just knowledge of doctrine. It's not even just desire in our hearts, right? Faith, sometimes Christians think that faith is wanting something very much, right? Something that you really want. Well, I'm telling you, faith is more than just that. It's not just wanting something a lot or wishing for something very, very hard with your heart. Faith is best expressed when it's committed to a decision that results in an action. I guess you could say that faith is a verb. It's a verb. It's doing something. And that's why James tells us, you know, in James chapter 2, verse 26, he says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." It's powerless. It cannot give you breakthrough. It can bring you to a good place. It cannot bring you to the place of breakthrough, spiritual breakthrough. You want to see God? I mean, not like go to heaven and see God, but hear and experience God, right? Oh, this is what you need. You're going to need a certain kind of audacious faith. Not only is faith, if you don't have the actions, if it doesn't translate to action, then there's no further fruit in your life. You will not be able to draw nearer to God than the railings of the boat. That's as far as you go. And so many Christians, they end up there. They camp there on the railings of the boat, right? Near the water, can see Jesus, but cannot touch Jesus. I hope your desire is to touch Jesus. Amen? Amen? Warm water, a bit dangerous. Yeah. Amen? Got to have some audacious faith, huh? But the next verse, verse 30, tells us perfectly, it's perfectly placed. It tells us what happens if you take your eyes off the Lord. Because it's all too easy as you begin to grow in the Lord, right? The world will come in, for sure. The storms, the winds will blow. And the Bible says that Peter, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sing, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Listen, the wind has been boisterous for 9 hours. It's nothing new. So suddenly the wind blew. No, it was always there. It's just his focus suddenly moved from Jesus to the things of the world. Happens to all of us. When we are starting in our Christian walk, we looked at Jesus. But after a little while, we start looking around, looking at this and that other thing. And then that's the end of your breakthrough. This is the story of many of our lives. I think most of us probably know this feeling well. Allowing our circumstances to bring fear and knock us down back to earth again, walking in the boat, jumping back in the boat, instead of walking on water. Well, thankfully, God understands our weaknesses. He's kind and merciful towards us, right? The Bible says, immediately, Jesus reached out. Immediately. Just as a father reaches out to catch a stumbling child, to steady him and put him back on his feet. And those words that Jesus spoke to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" I don't think it was spoken in rebuke. It wasn't like, "Ayah, Peter, you're so useless. You know, I do so many things for you. How come you still so little faith?" It wasn't like that. I think it's more like, "Hey, Peter, you were so close. You almost got it. You almost got it." You know, I believe God was pleased with Peter because he was the only one who came that far, right? "You almost got it, man. Why did you doubt? Next time, don't doubt," right? Because God is always a God of second chances. Next time, don't doubt. Seeing through the eyes of faith opened up a whole new world of revelation to the disciples. We are told that they now have a new understanding of Jesus that they didn't have before. You know, when Jesus and Peter got back into the boat, the wind ceased immediately, right? Very interesting, huh? Why the wind didn't cease earlier? Why did the wind start at all in the first place? You think Jesus couldn't over there? "Okay, let's stop the wind. Let's go home now." That's why I'm saying, I think this whole thing was a setup. This whole thing was intentional because God wanted to reveal something to you and me today. There is a deep lesson for us who desire spiritual breakthrough. If you want to draw nearer to God, you're going to need faith. It's not enough just to do the natural. You need to do the supernatural. So, they come in, right? And straight away, it's like lesson over, switch off the fan, switch off everything, in boliao, right? And they were in there, and the Bible says, they bow down and they worship Jesus. Not just a teacher anymore. Not just thank you teacher anymore. They bow down, they say, truly, you are the Son of God. Seeing with your natural eyes, seeing with your eyes of faith will allow then you to see spiritual truths. This whole narrative holds a key to how we can have breakthrough in our own spiritual lives. You know, even when I was preparing this, I was thinking about our Jurong Church project, right? And some years ago, we talked about this, and really God has opened the door. Now we have a place that we're looking at there. Very exciting time. And I want to particularly address the younger people of this church, the youth of this church, right? The second, the third, maybe even the fourth generation of believers in this church, the young adults of this church. You see, those of us who are older, we had our own, many of us had our own walking on water experience as we were growing up. Some of us from Prince Charles Crescent, trusting, believing God for something unthinkable and seeing God come through, that completely transformed our whole understanding of God. See something that you cannot see with our natural eyes. But many of these children, these younger people that I'm addressing right now, whether you're here or whether you're watching from home, most of you are watching from home, probably in bed still, right? Many of us, you were born in the boat, you see. You're born in the boat. You've never been out of the boat before. And the boat is very nice, what? So what's the point? Why must go out of the boat, leh? Right? Let's walk on water. You know, yesterday I was talking to someone and he was telling the doctor, do you want to go to Jurong or not? He said, why must go there? Right? So I think a lot of the young people, this is how they think. Now I want to tell you, walking on water is something else altogether. It's nothing like what is inside the boat. The Jesus that you see by remaining in the boat is only half of Jesus. He's just a great teacher. It's not worthy of giving your life up for. If you want to see that Jesus that will cause you to leave everything and give up your life and follow Him all the way, that Jesus out on the water. Right? So if you think you've been in church for many years, you grew up in church, let me tell you, friends, you ain't seen nothing again until you get out of the boat. So, you know, as we are trusting God, and I believe that God will make this opportunity available for some of us to go beyond where you have gone, to get this breakthrough. Now, of course, Dawson is also on our heart. You know, it is opening up end of this year. We are getting ready. Many people are preparing to get their keys already. We want to do more than just a social welfare work, right? This is not just social welfare. Everything we do in church has to be founded on great faith. Even our church building, we did it by faith. We didn't ask for fundraising and all that. We believe God because everything in this church has to be done by faith. You know why? Hebrews tells us in 11 verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's not just hard to please God or difficult to please God or challenging. It's impossible to please God. And whoever comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So today, for those of you, both the young as well as the old, have we somehow found ourselves camping on the verge of the boat, on the verge of the water, right? Have we somehow, for maybe we never knew that we had to get out of the boat. We thought that getting out of the boat was an elective for those super crazy Christians, right? But I'm telling you today, getting out of the boat is how you draw near to Jesus. This is how you draw near Jesus. And it requires an audacious faith. It requires you to believe God for something bigger. God is not a small God. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a healer. He is this creator of the universe. Maybe there's also some of us here today who are finding yourself in a fourth watch of your life. Things are dark. You're tired. Wind and storm blowing and beating all about you. And you just kind of like want to give up, throw in the towel, right? Well, I want to encourage you that it is so often in the fourth watch of the night that Jesus comes to us. So often. I don't know exactly why. Maybe it is during that time that our faith is purest, right? Your faith is purest when nothing else works anymore and you just trust God completely. Maybe that's when Jesus comes to you. So perhaps for some of you, if you're finding yourself in the fourth watch of your life, I want to encourage you, a step of faith and see Jesus coming to you. Not fear, but faith. Amen? Some of you may be going through tough times. Maybe things are not convenient, and actually very often God seems to like to call us when it's not convenient, right? Don't call you in the morning. Why? Don't do this in the morning. Must wait until, you know, halfway in the night, we're all tired. God likes to do this. This one, don't ask me. You ask God yourself, right? In your quiet time, you ask the Lord, why always like this? But that's just the way He works. So, if today you're in that difficult situation, you know, there's actually a Jewish tradition that this is the time that God tends to save people. You know, when there's a tradition that the deliverance from Egypt happened in the fourth watch. Okay, this is a tradition, it's not in the Bible. But maybe it is true that God comes to us during these dark and dire times. So if today Jesus is still not in your boat, I recommend you get Jesus in the boat. Because you know, when you got in the boat, the storm ceases. So if you're not already trusting and believing in Jesus, what have you got to lose? Right? Shall we close our eyes? Lord, we thank you for this setup that you put the disciples through. This is a lesson we need to master today. So Lord, I pray that we will be courageous, we'll be brave and strong, we'll be audacious in our faith. Because without faith, not only is it impossible to please God, it's impossible to draw near to you and to see you as you want to be seen by us, Lord. So Father, I pray for every one of us here. And some of us here today may be finding yourself in the darkest hour of the night. And usually, Lord, that is the darkest time is when just before the sunrise. And Lord, I pray you encourage them to put their faith in you right this very moment, to allow you to come into their boat and to still the storm. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen. Shall we just stand and sing this song before we bring the announcements? Yeah.
God, I look to you. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you.
Yes, Lord.
You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
Sing again. God, I look to you.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. Oh God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield.